Blog Talk Radio.
Test, test, one, two. Okay. Looks like we have a little issue going on. But anyways, let's go ahead and begin our broadcast this morning. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Vincent Xavier. I do believe we are. We have this going on. Let's see where we are here. Technical issues, right? Let's end that call. So let's go here. Let's get that out of the way.
Watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go your way, first be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Agree with your adversary quickly, while you are in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and you be cast into prison. Verily I say unto you, thou shalt by no means come out from thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if your right eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. And if your right hand offends you, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is profitable for you that one of your members should perish, and not that your whole body should be cast into hell. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these comes of evil. You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on your right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, What do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Take heed that you do not your alms before men, to be seen of them. Otherwise you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you do alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, enter into your closet, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you have need of before you ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that you appear not unto men to fast, but unto your Father which is in secret. And your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. But if your eye be evil, your whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day evil thereof. Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, but consider not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote out of your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of your brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom, if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree brings forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree brings forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. You're listening to The Watchman on the Omega Radio Network and Blog Talk Radio. These are the greatest words ever uttered out of the lips of human being, out of man, the very words of God. And this morning, it is imperative that you and I align ourselves with the mind of Christ. It is so important that we have a proper alignment with God so that his mind and his heart can come down through us and we can measure to him, that we could line up with him, which means our thinking mechanism has to be brought into his will, that we cannot react or have conduct ourselves in a manner that is opposite than what he said, right? So this is kind of like a spiritual chiropractic adjustment today, where with all the winds blowing around the world in the spiritual realm, with the warfare going on, with all the things that are happening in the world today and are going to happen in the days ahead, that we must stay aligned. And there are several things in this sermon that the Lord Jesus taught that I'd love to discuss. Last couple of days ago, we were talking about Chester P. Moline called in and wanted to know why there was confusion in telling everybody to prepare for what's coming in the days of Noah, and yet Jesus said, don't worry about your life. And I think the answer, as I've examined this, the genuine true answer is that what Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, which we've just read, is a way of life. It's to live one day at a time, a way of life, not worrying. God's going to provide. He'll show you how to work and get things done. But when it comes to the last days, when it comes to the days of Noah, Noah didn't spend his entire life building an ark. Let me give you an example. Noah was 555 years old before God ever talked to him about building an ark. So the first 555 years, he was living like everybody else. And so Jesus teaches his disciples how to live all the time. But when that time comes in the prophetic anointing of God, where it's time to begin to prepare an ark for the revelation and the prophecy of what's coming, well, then God says, everything that you've trusted me for and the things that I've blessed you with, now you can begin to store these things up for the journey that lie ahead. So the simple answer is we are living in a season where the days of the Son of Man are likened unto the days of Noah. The signs of the times are everywhere. So now we respond to that part of the Word of God and prepare and to get everything ready for the journey that is ahead of us. The wise virgins need to make sure they have their oil, and we need to know that we need our own food, our own water, our own little terra firma earth that no man is going to touch or take away because of any reason, and we need to trust God with that too, that we're living in the Goshens, and we're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing with the right people right now. A wise man foresees the storm and prepares himself. And that's what we are doing. So Jesus is teaching how to live one day at a time without worry, stress. Trust him. He'll guide you. He'll provide for you. Seek the kingdom of God. All those instructions are valid, but they do not negate that moment in time where God tells us to prepare. The other thing that I was noticing in Jesus's sermon, and there are so many things. I mean, every word has impact. But one of the things I noticed, he kept talking about your reward will be in heaven. You know, if you want to get a reward here on earth, then just do things before men and let them all see what you're doing and, you know, seek their applause and seek their platitudes, and that'll be your reward. But Jesus is always talking about a reward that is going to be in the kingdom of heaven, a reward in heaven. And you and I have to have that eternal perspective that there is something beyond the here and now, that when you and I take our last breath and we close our eyes for the last time on this earth in these bodies, we need to know there really is a heaven that is waiting for us, and we should be storing up our riches in heaven while we're here on earth by doing things that are honorable and pleasing to God that no man knows about, that no man sees. It's overcoming every single day, keeping yourself from all iniquity and evil when nobody's looking. It's doing what is right when nobody sees. It's honoring God when nobody sees, because when we live a secret life of honoring the Lord, he does see, and that's how we store up the riches in heaven. That's how we do it. God sees everything we do, and we marvel at the reality that there is a heaven. Woe to those people that think there's nothing after death. What a waste of the imaginative power of life itself to think that there's nothing after this moment, that there's no accountability, there's no judgment, there's no heaven, there's no hell, there's nothing. Oh, what an awakening shall be on that day. And even more concerning is the people that proclaim to know God and do the works of Jesus. They're expecting to go into heaven. And the Lord says, I never knew you. Let that never come upon you and I. Let us be fruit-bearing trees. Let us have the fruit of the Spirit that is being manifested in our lives, so that when people come to us, they can partake of that fruitfulness, that spiritual divine life that is intrinsic within us because we've been born again. Let us not offer the fruits of Adam, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let us not give a good day and a bad day. Let the fruit of the Spirit, that divine nature, take root and overwhelm that other tree. Hew that other tree of knowledge of good and evil down. And then, of course, the admonition of Jesus is so contrary to the ways of Adam that he literally says, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to them the other. In other words, don't take vengeance into your own hand. Don't respond too quickly. First, turn that other cheek. My pastor used to say, strike me on one cheek, I'll turn the other. Hit me on that cheek. That's fine. But if you go to do it a third time, you better duck. And I don't know if that was good advice or not, but at least he was patient in his response to evil. And if somebody compels you to go to a mile, go 2 miles. I mean, love your enemies. What a message. And you and I, we have to align ourselves under the message. And what I love is when the true saints of God hear the words of God, they never argue with it. They don't reason with it. They just know this is the word of the master, so yield to it, right? That is the key to everything. And those beautiful Beatitudes, oh my God, are they absolutely beautiful and rich, and they're filled with all the glory of God. I mean, imagine as we go back, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. You know, it's a dangerous thing to be an American in the year 2019, according to the Gregorian calendar, because we are so likened unto the church of Laodicea. And you'll remember the admonition to the church of Laodicea. And here it is. It's out of Revelation chapter 3. And I begin in verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth, because you say, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. You see, ladies and gentlemen, here is a church that had no idea of its true spiritual condition before God. Somehow they began to think because they were increased with goods. Somehow they began to think because they had need of nothing as far as the world's goods are concerned, and they didn't know their true condition before God was a lukewarm condition that upset his stomach, that he would vomit them out of his mouth, and they didn't know that they were wretched. They didn't know that they were miserable. They didn't know that they were poor. They didn't know that they were blind. They didn't know that they were naked. And so this is a condition that could come upon an individual or a local church or a nation. Well, the church at Laodicea was struggling with this, and the Lord said, I counsel you to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich, the true gold, the gold that comes through purifying testings, and white raiment, purchase that for me, that you may be clothed. And what is the price? It is the price of the cross. It is coming to faith in Jesus Christ. It's coming to an admission of our true condition and confession of it. And then he said, that the shame of your nakedness do not appear. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. Open our eyes, O God. As many as I love, Jesus said, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. For to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Yes, these are serious days, days of accountability. Good morning, Patricia Joy Xavier. How are you this morning, lovely one?
I am doing just beautifully well. When I looked out the window and saw a pink tree.
Wasn't that gorgeous?
It is so pretty. And then right after that, a white tree. And I thought, you know, spring finally has sprung. I was wondering if it was going to come this year at all, but it did.
But it's still a little cold here.
It's still a little cold. I agree. I think
they have snow up in South Dakota.
I know.
They have like 10 inches, I heard.
I know. It's so, the strangeness of this weather has been unbelievable as of late. But I wanted to talk also about what you mentioned regarding the mind of Christ. I read it the other night, and I think it's in Corinthians 2:16. Ye have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Now, when you really think about that, you consider the fact that we're human beings, and we are not as Christ. I mean, we're not like God. I mean, God is God, and Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ. But a gift has been given beyond our understanding, which says in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 2:16, ye have the mind of Christ. So it stands in a sharp contrast to the wisdom of man. Well, I just want to say that the wisdom of man has gotten us nowhere. And I have been listening and watching around and about with man's wisdom coming off from TV programs of the news and various articles and even on social media. Yeah, man's wisdom doesn't compare to the mind of Christ, but we have been given that mind. So my question is, who should rule and reign? If we have the mind of Christ that made and created all things, and from what I'm hearing of the wisdom of man on social media, that contrast is incredible. And it's no wonder that we are in the trouble we're in. And the mind of Christ involves the wisdom from God, the one who created all things, the great I am. We have the wisdom of God. That's what it involves. If you have the mind of Christ, we have the wisdom from God, and once hidden, but now revealed in the New Testament. Think about it. Think about what we have been granted.
Well, Patricia, when you bring up that scripture in 1 Corinthians, the word mind there is the nous, and it means, that word means the intellect. So we have the intellect of Christ. We have the meaning, the mind, the understanding. And I love that because in 1 John chapter 5, the Apostle John writes in verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sins not, but he that is begotten of God keeps himself, and that wicked one touches him not. And we know, that word know means, again, to perceive, to understand, that we are of God and that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know him that is true. And we know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding. What has he given us? An understanding mind, an understanding heart. He has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ, and this is the true God and eternal life. So he's given us his mind of understanding, his wisdom, his will, and in that wisdom we know. The believers know that the whole world lieth in wickedness or under the sway of evil, and that the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, and that the whole world has been deceived by the devil. And to even know that is a pretty rich understanding.
Unbelievable. When you really consider what a gift we have been given,
yeah,
compared to that of the world, my goodness gracious. And we walk around as though we have no wisdom, no ability to really accomplish much, but the world does. Now, not all, but a great majority do that call themselves Christians. Again, that scripture in 1 Corinthians 2:16, when I heard you speak it earlier, I just thought, that's where it is. And that is the most wonderful concept to understand. And when I considered having the mind of Christ, I next thought was, well, how do you get the mind of Christ? And then I heard you speak on the Beatitudes, which is his mind. There's no doubt about it. But how do we get it? He's got it. He tells us about it in the Beatitudes. But how do we get it? And then the consideration of verses 10 and 12 came into view. In 1 Corinthians 2, it says, the mind of Christ is given to believers. Are you a believer? Am I a believer? Do we believe in Jesus Christ? Given to the believers through the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So again, we're coming across with the same idea of the Holy Spirit moving in those that believe in Jesus Christ. That's how we have the mind of Christ. That's how we understand the ways of the Lord. So what are we given? What are we given in the Holy Spirit with this mind that I considered one of the greatest gifts to have? The mind of Christ gives believers discernment in spiritual matters. Discernment in spiritual matters. Well, in order to do that, you have to have the Holy Spirit operating in your life. And what is that discernment of the Holy Spirit? It is a gift. It's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that empower the believer. And that empowerment does other things. It casts out devils. It heals the sick. It encourages one to walk in incredible faith, unbelievable faith that can move a mountain and speak to it and falls into the ocean. But the idea of discernment in the times we're in, given by the gift of the Holy Spirit, the empowerment mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12, gives us discernment between good and evil. And by golly, that's what the world doesn't have. They have no discernment. From the left to the one world order planners, they have no discernment of the truth.
Amen. Patricia, when you brought up that scripture about this mind, how do we get the mind of Christ in us? In Philippians 2:5, it literally says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And it's interesting in the Greek that the word let is a phroneo, and that's very interesting, phroneo, because it's an allowance, okay? It is to be wise, and it's the same word, the word let this mind be. Now, that word mind be is the same word, phroneo, and here's what it means. It means to have understanding, right? Or to exercise the mind.
Wow.
To exercise the mind. So we sometimes think that having the mind of Christ is like some supernatural, download upon us. And that it's something just comes on us, right? And yet it's imperative that we as Christians understand that to have the mind of Christ is a truth, but to exercise it is to let it be.
The word let is very interesting. Do you have a description on that?
Yeah, it's basically the same word here. It's, the gar. Here's what the word actually means in the Greek. It's gar, okay? And it means properly assigning a reason or an explanation or intensification. It says, no doubt. Let's see. So there's more definitions like that. And I'm looking here.
No doubt.
So that's the gar for, and then the word let is, it's the same exact meaning of the word mind be. And that statement says, let this mind be. So let and mind be are the same Greek word for neo, and they both mean to exercise the mind. In other words, how do you exercise the mind of Christ? By reading the Bible and getting the instructions in the Word of God. Well, now we exercise our mind, the mind of Christ, because his mind is revealed to us and in us. So we exercise it. We put it to work. We think about it, what the Word says. And by doing so, we actually are renewing our mind with the Word of God. So again, it boils down to the renewing of the mind.
So it's as though, or likened unto an allowance. In other words, allowing and yielding to this Holy Spirit
yielding,
leading.
Yeah, that's a good one. Mm-hmm.
And we need to learn how to do that. We have to learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit.
And that learning is meditating on what the Word says. We read three chapters today in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. There were pearls being dropped everywhere. We could have stopped again and again and again and gone into exploration on those words. And exercising the mind actually means to think about these things that Jesus is saying, you know, chew them up, meditate upon them, think about them. And by doing so, you're actually exercising the mind. We could read three chapters and say, wow, we read three chapters of the Bible, but we could have explored one of those verses and spent an entire radio program on it and go into the depth and the height and the breadth and the length of the meaning of what Yeshua was actually teaching. And that would be an exercising of the mind.
So if we have then the mind of Christ, it means we understand God's plan in the world, because he has a plan. And we know in Scripture he has a plan, but we understand it. You see, the world doesn't. Social media doesn't, if you watch most of what the government is doing and speaking. And so by God's plan being done, it'll bring glory to him. And we have to understand that what he's doing is restoring creation to its original splendor and providing that salvation for his creation.
Yeah, absolutely. He is. Now, think about this. The admonition in the New Testament is constantly not to be high-minded, right? So when we go back to Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He gives some explanation to it in verse 6 and 7 and 8. Listen to this. Who, being in the form of God, so we're talking about, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, okay, powerful, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. What a humility after being in the Godhead, right? And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That is the mind that was in Christ, a humble servant mind that was obedient to death. There was no resistance in the mind to the will of God.
None whatsoever. No resistance. Can you imagine yourself, myself, not resisting the things of God and what God tells us to do? And he does so by his word. We know his mind by his word. Jesus Christ is the Word. Jesus Christ came to earth to show us the way and the mind of himself in Christ. Christ is that anointed word, that anointed mind, how we are to walk, how we are to believe, how we are to understand. And again, what is the purpose of this provision by the Holy Spirit? The purpose is, and it's a wonderful purpose, is God's plan in the world to bring glory to himself, restore creation to its original splendor. And nothing excites me more than that the creation is going to be brought back to its original splendor. In fact, it's going to be greater and better. Why? Why would it be greater and better. It'll be greater and better because in the original creation of splendor, in the Garden of Adam and Eve, they sinned and fell. When he brings back his original creation, in which we are the helpmates in that, what is going to happen is we have all been already in the process of the fallen man from the time of the beginning by Adam and Eve because we have the same bloodline, but we have regained salvation through Jesus Christ and we overcame what they didn't have in the garden. They fell because they believed in the devil. We overcome the devil because Jesus Christ already has, and he gives us permission to bring ourselves in a position of overcoming Satan, the world, and the flesh. We won't fall to that again. We will be more in the process of bringing greater and greater splendor to this earth. And this is why he gave us his mind. I get excited.
Exactly. And Patricia, how important is it in the day that we're living, and we live one day at a time, and here's the balance. We have learned to live one day at a time, are learning to live one day at a time, seeking first the kingdom of God. He's providing for us through our work and jobs. Everybody's out there doing something, and they've learned how to do things. Now the time of preparation is coming, so we're taking what we have gathered and we're putting it together and preparing to go into the wilderness type of idea. And Jesus was giving these words 37 years before the total destruction of Jerusalem in that part of Israel. I mean, 37 years after he sat down on that mountaintop and gave this sermon, the Roman armies came and destroyed that whole city.
Satan couldn't handle it.
Yeah, so he couldn't. I mean, Jesus was telling them what was coming, and he's telling you and I today and those who are listening today that remember to keep this perspective of one day at a time. Keep your mind low. Keep your heart humble. Keep yourself in alignment with the will of God so that we don't find ourselves doing the works but not living the conduct, okay? Because there were a lot of people doing the works of Jesus, but he never knew them in the intimacy of a divine born-again experience or a unified spirit, for he was joined to the Lord as one spirit. It is imperative that we keep allowing the Word of God to have a place in our hearts, that we keep allowing the Word of God to adjust us when we're out of whack, because if we are out of whack and we don't get adjusted, we are in danger of a more major crisis in our lives, and you pretty much know when you're out of whack spiritually. Things aren't working out. There's not that peaceful delight. There's not the wind at your back. It's normally blowing in your face. You're not at peace. There's no joy. In other words, the fruit of the Spirit, which is the proof of being in the right direction, and that doesn't matter what the condition is. It's the condition of the heart and the mind that is important. And so in these last moments of time upon the earth, we feel it's important to get that Word of God. Just, you know, forget our interpretations, our opinions. Let's bring the Word of God, and then let's together study by the Holy Spirit what is actually being said and why it's being said, because we believe that we're going into something that we need to be prepared for spiritually and emotionally. And there are the lines are just absolutely lit up right now. God bless everybody that's listening into the radio broadcast. If you have a question or comment that you want to share today, then please press 1 on the dial pad. We'll bring you right into the broadcast and allow for your time to just share what is in your heart. We want to welcome all of our friends around the world that are listening on the Omega Radio Network. We're listening to the words of Jesus today, and we are thankful to God that we can share those words while we can.
And we're also thankful to God that we have the mind of Christ. What I would like you to do, if you have difficulty controlling your mind, when it starts to roam in areas it should not roam into because the accuser of the brethren is speaking against you and you are sensing something that is very wrong about you, say, I have the mind of Christ. I will not listen to the accusations of the evil one, or I will not think wrongly about another, which is another thing in which Satan does through accusation. These are the days to take control over your thoughts, take control over your mind, because you have been given the mind of Christ. And it means that we share Jesus's perspective of humility and obedience. We're going to be obedient. We're going to control our thoughts by asking the Holy Spirit for conviction soon as our minds start to roam. That could happen while you're driving. That can happen while you're at the sink washing dishes, if you're a female or a male. It could happen while you're cooking. It could happen while you're washing clothes. All of a sudden, your mind starts to wander. And it is in places it should not be. It does not have the mind of Christ. So it means that we begin to share a perspective of humility by humbling ourselves and allowing the Holy Spirit to move in obedience to control these thoughts through the Holy Spirit with the allowance and the compassion. We need to have more compassion and understanding because Jesus did, and prayerful dependence on God. He did. Jesus Christ did these very things, and we are his brother and his sister. You know, I never hear it ministered. I never hear it taught. We are his brother. He looks upon us as that, as a brethren. And these are truths concerning the mind of Christ. It stands in sharp contrast to the wisdom of man. Oh, is it huge, enormous difference.
Patricia, there used to be an old commercial out, the mind is a terrible thing to waste. And the mind is a very complex organism. There's no doubt about it. And I want to ask you this question, because you wrote this in your book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. When a person wakes up in the morning, the whole day ahead of them is beginning right there with whatever is in their mind. So if the person wakes up and everything begins with a thought, okay, everything begins with a thought. And so if you wake up and you have bad thoughts, those bad thoughts are basically going to begin to control your emotions. Now, emotions are subject to demonic influence. So we have a spiritual thing going on here. It's all spirit. That thought that you wake up with may be a demonic thought or a God thought. And if it's not a God thought and it's a demonic thought, that's where we have to become active, take the thoughts captive, bring them under the obedience of Jesus, think the thoughts of God, and that very thinking is going to begin to adjust our emotional place or our soulical condition before God. And if we start with a bad thought, we wind up with bad emotion or demonic spirit that is making us uncomfortable for the day ahead. It's usually a good indicator that the devil has some foreknowledge, that he's trying to break something down that may be intended by God to be a beautiful connection or of sorts. But he's trying to mess up the mind with the thoughts, the intellect, the emotions that could be demonic. But then, thank God for the Christians, we have the Holy Spirit to help us so that we could have a better result regardless of how the day begins. Is that even close?
Oh, it's not only close, it's the way to go. This is the cry of God's heart right now for your life. You know, the idea of having the mind of Christ and thinking as like our Father does in heaven also brings to mind that we, in the scriptures, it includes the peace of mind. We have the mind of Christ, therefore we have the peace of mind too. And when I think of the peace of mind, I think of coming into his rest. In other words, my mind is at rest. My spirit is at rest. My mind has peace. And I then am likened unto the Lord, because his peace was unmovable because he knew who he was.
Yeah, there was a friend of ours, Patricia, you'll remember, he used to look in the mirror every morning and he'd start inspiring himself. He'd say, you know, you're a good guy and you're fun to be around and you're good looking. And by golly, everybody likes you. And then he'd leave the mirror. Well, that is a short-sighted psychology of a person trying to build themselves up, rather than the mind being filled with the Bible, the Word of God, Jesus' thought. You know, I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord. I belong to the Lord. The Lord has been good to me. I know that He loves me with an everlasting love. Speaking the Word of God over your life, having those thoughts will encourage your soul. Your soul will be encouraged, and the Spirit of God in your spirit will continue to infuse, because that's by the Holy Spirit that you're encouraging yourself in the Lord.
Amen. It is so true. And, you know, when you consider the peace that God has given us through the fruit of the Holy Spirit, peace is part of love, and it is a component of love. So when we're given peace, it's like a state of friendship between God and man. And peace between a holy God and a sinful mankind has been a Christ sacrificial death, having made peace through the blood of his cross. That's how he made peace with us, with mankind. And another thing that I was considering about the mind of peace is that the mind itself, when the definition in the Greek speaks of the same in reference to the soul. So if our soul is at rest and at peace, our mind is at rest and at peace.
And the power of God is then loosed in our lives to flow unhindered or unrestrained. Now, you maybe have woken up in the morning, somebody out there today listening, ourselves, you wake up and you wake up with thoughts of worry or concern, or you're troubled about finances or relationships or about what the weather is going to be today. This is the opportune moment to take those thoughts captive that are creating an environment of stress and to begin to declare the word of God. For example, Jesus said, "Everyone that asks shall receive. Everyone who knocks, the door shall be open. Everyone who seeks shall find." So whatever the concern is, maybe in a relationship struggle, forgiveness is necessary. And so it is our part to yield to forgiveness, which is a carrying of the cross. And every one of us has been called to carry our cross. We don't forgive people because they suddenly acted better to us, or they were kinder. We have to learn to forgive people that are still adversarial against us, still angry at us, still despitefully using us, speaking all manner of evil against us. You don't wait to forgive somebody until they've changed their mind. No, we protect ourselves by forgiving people who have done us wrong or done us harm. And what that does, by forgiving them, it releases us from the captivity of that demonic attack that is coming. We don't defend ourselves and bind and rebuke and come against them first. What we do is we learn to forgive them. Is that accurate?
Oh, absolutely.
Balanced with the other
forgiveness,
part.
Forgiveness, it will give you such peace of mind. It's unbelievable. It is only when we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can experience the true peace of mind that is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, his fruit exhibited in us, seen in us. And you know what else? It is the state of friendship with God.
Say that again. It's what?
It is the state of friendship with God.
State of friendship with God. Hey, do you want to be a friend of the Lord today? Are you his friend?
I am.
Get in aligned with him. Get in alignment. It's Friday. You're going into your weekend. Be strong in the Lord. Be bold as lions. Listen. In the kingdom of God, the spring will always come. It is not going to remain a tough time or a dark or cold time forever. Spring will come. Endure the process and inwardly let the environment be 82 and sunny. I know that's how you like it, Patricia Joy, 82 and sunny.
Perfect.
And we kind of like that ourselves. We want to wish you a very blessed weekend. We are going to ask the Lord to bring you and I into alignment with him, his purpose, his will. I'm sure by the time we come back to the radio pulpit here on Monday, there's going to be lots to talk about. Have a super blessed weekend. We love you. God loves you. Stay in the Word of God. Get into good Christian fellowship this week with the brethren. Till we meet again, I'm Pastor Vince with my beloved wife, Patricia Joy. We'll see you Monday. God bless. Make sure you go to Omega Radio right now, where a roundtable discussion is underway.
And bless us, too. Help us in this program. Bring us a blessing financial. Be part of what we're doing.
And thank you for the gifts that have come in. God bless everybody. Enjoy the broadcast.